This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Bethel City Council will conduct two important interviews tonight. They will assess the finalists for both the city manager and city attorney positions in person, starting at 6 p.m. in interviews open to the public. To fill the city attorney position, the council will be talking to one candidate, Elizabeth Libby Bacalar. Bacalar served 12 years as an attorney in the State Department of Law, where she became a senior assistant attorney general. Bacalar was fired from that job by Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration in 2018. Bacalar believes she was terminated because of her blog, One Hot Mess Alaska, in which she often criticized President Donald Trump. She is suing Dunleavy, claiming that the firing was a violation of her right to freedom of speech. Many members of Bethel City Council were impressed by Bacalar because of her breadth of experience in municipal law. Council members Mark Springer and Michelle DeWitt say they do not care about her blog or lawsuit against the governor. There is also only one candidate in for the city manager interview, Vincenzo Vinny Carrazza. Carrazza currently works as the city engineer for Temple Terrace, Florida, a town with a population of 26,000. He has previously served as city administrator for the North Slope Village of New Ixit, with a population of 423. The council had invited two other candidates for city manager to the in-person interviews, but they declined, saying they accepted other jobs. There is a meet and greet open to the public tonight. You can chat with both Libby Bacalar and Vinny Carrazza from 5 to 6 p.m. inside City Hall. And at 6 o'clock, the council will conduct interviews with both Bacalar and Carrazza, also open to the public. And the bodies of the five people who died last week in a Ute commuter service plane crash near the community of Tuntutuliak are in Anchorage. The names of the four deceased passengers from the coastal community of Kipnuk have yet to be released. The pilot was Tony Matthews. The recovery effort took multiple agencies 2 days, working outside in severe wind chill. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur talked with two of the responders who were there.
Well, we were prepared with our equipment to hopefully deal with survivors.
That's always the hope, says Tuntutuliak Search and Rescue volunteer Carl Andrew, that when you go out, it's for a rescue, not a recovery.
As we all know by now, with all the releases, the news, the reports, there was no survivors.
On the day of the crash, Thursday, Andrew was at work. He manages the Tuntutuliak Power Company. And at 2 p.m., he was ordering generator fuel when his phone rang. It was the village police officer, saying a plane had crashed nearby and Alaska State Troopers had given them coordinates. Andrew was needed.
I went home, started warming up my snow machine, got my warm stuff ready, had my wife fill up my thermos bottle, coffee. Put a few stuff in my backpack and went straight down to the public safety.
He and seven search and rescue volunteers, two health aides, and one village police officer headed out to find the plane. It had crashed about a dozen miles southwest of the village. They arrived at about the same time as the Alaska Army National Guard Black Hawk helicopter. It was about 4 p.m. Temperatures with wind chill clocked at about 20 degrees below zero. Soon it would be dark. The volunteers had time to only recover one of the bodies.
That first time we went out, we had no clue who was involved. But after we got back from the first day, I was starting to hear rumors.
That night, Andrew learned one of his friends had been on board. He and the other Tuntutuliak search and rescue volunteers returned the next day, along with many others. The day would be longer and colder than before.
The pictures of Antarctica, when you look out there and it's nothing but white and the wind's blowing across and the snow, that's what it's like.
Alaska State Trooper Joe Whittem snow machined from Bethel to the crash site the next morning with other troopers, as well as a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officer, an investigator with the National Transportation Safety Board, and two Bethel firefighters trained to extract bodies from wreckage. The stripped down equipment made the journey longer than expected.
It was real windy. Some of the sleds that we had were real light, and so it slowed our advance down as the sleds kept turning over when they're empty.
The winds blew a constant 25 miles per hour, dropping the wind chill to nearly 50 degrees below zero. The open tundra provided no shelter or barriers.
By the time we got there the next day, everything was starting to drift over and froze up, so there was no smoke, there was no heat.
The trooper's job, Whittem says, was to document the scene. Where people were sitting, were they wearing seatbelts, and what protective equipment was available. The cold made riding difficult.
You know, your dexterity in your hands gets really hard, but due to the equipment that we had, we were able to complete the job.
The responders loaded the remaining four bodies onto the empty sleds and took them to Tuntutuliak. From there, a state plane flew them to Bethel, where they were then loaded onto a commercial plane and taken to Anchorage to be identified. The crashed Ute commuter service airplane remains on the tundra. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And Bethel Warriors and Lady Warriors had a good weekend, beating Gnome's varsity boy and girl teams in two games each. Bethel Warriors beat the Gnome Nanooks 64-42 and 67-58. In another two-game victory, the Lady Warriors beat the Gnome Girls varsity 55-54 and 49-45. And finally, the boys from Newnham Iqua showed it's possible to withstand the Alaskan winter with a strong will to live and some survival skills. The Scammon Bay searchers who found them say they dug a hole to keep their two-year-old brother warm. KYUK's Greg Kim talked with experienced Bethel search and rescue members about what else the boys did well and everything you should do if you're caught in a winter storm.
Former Bethel Search and Rescue President Peter Atchik says survival begins before you step outside.
Key to making it out there if you happen to be caught in a storm or a situation is to be prepared.
Longtime BSAR member Sam Samuelson says always check the weather before heading out and let people know where you're going and when you plan to be there.
If you don't show up within 2 or 3 hours, then something's wrong.
Atchik ran through a list of things you should always bring on your snow machine. A knife and lighter so you can rip off your snow machine seat and burn it to get detected.
You know, and that'll give out the blackest smoke that you ever see.
A tarp and rain gear.
That snow can turn into wet snow in a hurry.
But the most important tool you can bring, Atchik says, is a shovel.
Snow cave is the best thing you can do. You know, if there's enough snow out there, you can build yourself a little shelter.
But sometimes a storm comes out of nowhere, even during a short ride to the town's dump. Atchik says in cases like those, the first thing to do is to stop.
Stop. You don't keep going. If you happen to get disorientated or, you know, weather comes in, if you don't know where you are, you stop.
Samuelson says always stay by your snow machine.
Flip your snow machine up on its side. There's a super wind block. And just stay as close as you can to the machine. That's what we can spot. What we can spot first.
And then Atchik says you have to stay warm. He says you can insulate your clothes with grass from the tundra, and dig yourself a snow cave if you can. Don't point the opening towards where the wind is coming from. And before you go inside the cave, collect some leaves to sit on, and bring a stick in case the opening gets covered up.
You can poke through the ceiling to keep it open so you can breathe and don't suffocate.
The Newnham Iqua boys didn't have a shovel, but they dug with their hands so at least their two-year-old brother could get cover. Atchik is proud of their thinking.
That was a smart move.
Atchik says another good decision the boys made was to stay on the high snowdrift.
So you can be visible from all around. But if you can't, you know, like it's, say, for instance, too windy, or you put something on the highest point.
One time there was one fella, he buried himself a few years ago, and he left his socks on the tree, on the willow. And we got lucky and found the socks and found him.
Samuelson says, aside from luck, it's the amazing skill of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta searchers that leads to successful rescues. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Listen to the full Coffee at KYUK with Peter Atchik and Sam Samuelson online at kyuk.org. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.